Hi, welcome. This is Melanie Thomason. Welcome to my show called Insights. This is my first my debut. I'm really excited to be on the air, really excited to be with you. Looking forward to spending the next hour with you. It's really quite exciting and quite wonderful. Today's topic is, and I will allow some time towards the end of the show for you to call in and ask questions for using my intuitive and psychic abilities to answer those questions briefly. Looking forward to that part of the show. That will be a regular feature. The topic of today's show is, are you psychic or are you intuitive? We have many people believe that they are psychic. Everybody is. Everybody is intuitive. Everybody has a sixth sense. Everybody has a gut feeling. Everybody plays their hunches. But we live in a culture that doesn't particularly value or acknowledge at some levels that sixth sense, that intuitive ability, that psychic knowledge. And basically, intuition or psychic ability is a knowing that comes without knowing how you know. Again, it is a knowing that comes without knowing how you know. We have our five senses. Intuition or psychic ability is a sixth sense. And when we use our eyes, we know how we see. We see because we have these wonderful, beautiful eyes that allow us to see. When we use our nose, we have that sense of smell, which allows us to smell and to see and to hear our ear with our ears. These are senses that we know where the information comes from. Comes from through our senses, our defined senses. With intuition and psychic abilities, it's not like that because we don't know how we know. Yet everyone has this ability. Everyone has this experience. Psychic intuition, psychic abilities are not a function of logic, but when the two marry, it can be an absolutely fabulous, fabulous experience. Seldom is an intuitive experience or a psychic experience a very dramatic thing. That happens very, very rarely. Yet, in our culture, I think we often feel that is the norm. If we're really not schooled or really not aware of the capacities of psychic functioning. There's a great book that I was reading recently called When the Body Says No by a wonderful Canadian physician called Gabor Mate. When the Body Says No, exploring the stress-disease connection, and near the beginning of the book, he makes a great discussion about what he calls or what is called PNI, the PNI system in the body. And PNI is pretty dramatic. It stands for psychoneuroimmunoendocrinology, and it is about the systems of the body. One of the biggest ones is our stomach, is our gut. I had no idea until I read his book that how complicated and how sensitive. That's why so often we say, oh, I have a gut feeling, and apparently now there is really some wonderful, bona fide, substantive information coming from science that bears that out and connects that. So this is a very, very exciting field. One of the things that is true of intuition, of psychic abilities, so everybody has it. It's a lot like, I like to use the analogy, it's a lot like being a gourmet chef. If you have really, really great taste buds, you're going to be really good. And if you add your intuition to that, you're going to be, you know, probably exceptional. Sort of same experience with someone who has a good musical, natural musical ability. or natural scientific talent, with mathematics, for example, those strengths are going to be very strong. So too, and everybody does math. Everybody can do math. Everybody can learn to play a piano. Everyone can learn to cook. But it is those who have that really strong, developed, natural ability or tendency who will excel in those areas. So too it is with intuition and psychic ability. It's people who have that in a very strong way that will excel. It's where our psychics, our readers, our mediums, and people who have that kind of talent also, I believe it's also where people who we don't think so much about it, weather, for example, or the stock market and forecasting. In fact, with weather is a science. Meteorology is a science, but we still call it weather forecasting because it's not an exact science. We take a model, we look at it. I believe the best weather forecasters are those who also employ their intuition to predict that what is actually going to happen, because, you know, we see it all the time. You're planning a picnic, and lo and behold, it's supposed to be a bright, sunny day, and you've got everything under the works, and, oh, well, the weather shifted, and it's not. Take the picnic inside. Also, I believe that the people who are really, really good at sales, who excel in that arena, are really, really good at using their intuition and employing their intuition, even though they may not realize it. Hunches. We hear people who work in law enforcement say, man, I played a hunch. People who occasionally win at the track, ooh, I played a hunch and it paid off. So there's that, again, there's that knowing without knowing how you know. We have to learn to trust our senses, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our sense of touch. That helps us navigate. It's actually essential to navigating our world. So too it is with intuition. Part of the process is learning how to trust it. So I would like to have you out there in that great, big, beautiful BBS radio audience call in, open up some phone lines, open up Skype. Phone numbers are 888-627-6008. Please feel free to call in and let's talk about what are your hunches? What is your experience? Do you have a story about an intuitive or psychic experience that you had that you would like to share? You can also call in on Skype, BBS Radio. Again, my name is Melanie Thomas, and this is you're listening to Insights. My business is called Insights. You want to know a little bit more about me, you can go to my website, which is melanie-insights.com. Don't forget the extra N. Actually, a shortcut, you can probably just go to any Google search or Yahoo search and put in Melanie Thomas, M-E-L-A-N-N-I-E, Thomas, and I will come up. So it's pretty exciting for me. This is very exciting. You can also find me on the profile section of the BBS radio. We go to station one, put in bbsradio.com, go to station one, and on the left-hand side, do the radio search, program search. Go to Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and you will find my profile. Again, the call-in number is 888, toll-free, 888-627-6008. So let's talk about gut feelings and hunches and intuitions. I'd love to hear your experience. I'd love to have you share with me that ability, that capacity, that experience that you have had. In the meantime, we'll continue to talk a little bit about the intuitive experience. You can, like many other things, let's say you can learn to play a piano. Well, you can also learn to use your intuition in a really positive way that will bring information to you pretty pretty clearly. One of the things about intuition is that it can't be studied in the laboratory because, like love, can't be studied in the laboratory because we don't have consistent results that meet with the scientific model or scientific empirical model. However, it doesn't mean that we cannot engage or use these processes. So intuition can be developed. You can practice it. You can use it very successfully in a variety of ways. It can help us navigate our way. When our intuitive mind marries our logical mind, when the two team up and work together, you really have the best of all worlds. There's a great example of that. With some of my clients, I do a fair amount of life coaching work, and with some of my clients, I have an exercise that we do to help them find, get a direction, get some ideas about a path that they would like to go on. And that path, that direction, involves them creating some peaceful, quiet, sacred space, and touching their intuition. You have to sometimes kind of wait until you get the tap on and get the energy flowing. And we have, you want to write down, the task here is to write down everything you've ever wanted to do, the things that you have dreamed of doing, thought of doing, but put aside. It's a no-holds-barred list of things you want to do. If you want to be the first emperor or empress of Jupiter, you write it down because it's a no holds barred list. I think sometimes once we turn the tap on and the water really starts flowing, well, when we shut it off, there's a few drips that continue to fall. So you want to maybe keep that list around for a couple of days and catch those drips. And then the idea is you put it away. You have to put it away for a minimum of 2 weeks. Can be longer, can't be less. And then you pull that list out and you get a highlighter pen. And now you use your intuition, your gut, that sense of knowing, and you start going over that list. And everything on the list that really grabs you, that really draws you, you highlight. Now you're not using your intuition if you come across a choice, something you've written down on your list, and you go, well, you know, I don't think I have the money for that, or I think I'm too old for that, or whatever it is, and then your intuition is no longer functioning, and you're using your logical mind. Your intellect has joined the party. So if you catch yourself doing that, then it's not intuitive. This is not intuitive exercise. So it behooves one to go through this exercise really pretty quickly. There's no thinking. There's just like, Yeah, that. And you write down or highlight those things off that big list. And then the next part is you take that list out, put it away for 2 weeks, repeat the process. When you pull it out, here is where your logic comes. So now here is where logic and intuition meet and can put together a plan, can put together something that's realistic, you can look at what is really practical, what is really doable. What is manageable short term? What perhaps becomes a long range plan? Let's say you want to be a teacher. So what is the short term goal that helps you achieve the long term goal, the education? How do you go about that? I love it process. I love the process because it combines our intuitive self and our logical self. The information comes from us, directed by our higher self. That's probably a topic for another day, but it's an important part of managing your intuition. So it's a kind of a good example of how the logical mind meets the intuitive mind, and they work together very successfully, supporting us, giving us information, helping us make plans. Can really, really
Ellen,
good.
Ellen on line 3, Ellen.
Thank you so much for this time. Again, if you have any questions, call in at 888-627-6008. Hey, Ellen. Hello?
Hi, Mel. How are you doing? Hello.
Hey. How are you?
Ah, very good. I had a question for you.
Yes.
Okay. Do you find that when you work with clients that even the ones that say they don't have intuition really are intuitive because they've sought your service?
Oh, I think that that's true. I would agree with that. I think that's a great point you make. I think that's a great...
I think that people are... Okay, because I find sometimes that people are so analytical that they forget to understand, or they think they're intuitive, but they don't know.
I agree with that. I think in our culture, a lot of people don't think they're intuitive and don't want to think they're intuitive. By the way, for you folks that are listening out there, Ellen is a good friend of mine and also works in this field. She's a reader. Her business is Illuminations. She works out of mid-Florida near Orlando. How far are you from Orlando?
50 miles. We're up Rockledge, right near the Space Center.
Ellen and I have been friends for years and often... share our experiences. I love your question. I think it's really true. It's given me some food for thought because I'm not sure that I will have to give it some more thought. I've never thought about the person who is that person who comes to me intuitive. Yes, they are. Everybody is. But are they seeking my services because they are intuitive? What's your take on that?
I find that when I say that to clients, you're obviously intuitive or you wouldn't be here talking to me, that they sort of stand back from it for a minute. Then they'll nod their head very slowly that that's the truth. And most of them will tell you, well, I had this dream or I had this thought. And I don't ever think things like that. And the other thing that, and thank you very much, by the way. I wasn't expecting you to say all that. That's very sweet. The other thing that people forget as confirmation is they'll have an intuitive moment, I find, and then it's followed by goosebumps or a hair-raising kind of feeling or... a chill kind of feeling, and they'll look very surprised that it's, or they'll get a sinking feeling in their stomach, that gut thing, and it's a confirmation. Or they'll be thinking something, and they'll see a sign on the side of the road that says part of their message, confirming what they were thinking, and they'll go, oh, haha, what a coincidence,
right?
And it's not. I mean, this is, you know, their messages, and so I think that. I think we're well served to tell people that when these experiences happen, you know, they're all miracles. You know, step back and enjoy it and be involved in the intuition. And I love the exercise you were doing because we slip in and out of that logical side of the brain so quickly. I don't even think we're aware we're doing it. We're on this intuitive bent, and all of a sudden we're back in the practical, and we go, So... it was wonderful. I didn't want to take up your time. I just wanted to put those things out there. And I'm so delighted to hear you on air. I'm very excited for you.
Thank you. Well, if you have the time, we don't have any other callers on the line right now. And if you're out there and you want to call in and ask any other questions, the call-in number is 888-627-6008, or you can call in on VBS Radio on Skype. But if you have the time, you want to stay on the line for a while?
Sure, I'll be happy to. You were on a good bent there, and I don't want to take away from that.
No, I think it's. I think when there are two, when two or more are together, the energy just really grows, as you well know. And it's I think it's wonderful to be able to kick it around. I appreciate the feedback on the exercise. That's one I use a lot with clients who are, particularly in this economy, clients who've been laid off a job, or clients who are looking desperately to change a job or to move into a different arena, and they don't know where to go and they don't know what to do. So it becomes a really good exercise.
Just want to say the other part that I find sometimes that happens with that is people come to me and say, well, where's my next job, or, you know, where's the man of my dreams, or the, you know, lady of my dreams, whatever. And I find sometimes that the message that comes back says, you got to go to a different city. You need to move. And the response back is, well, I don't want to move. And so now you have the spirit, and in their heart they know they really aren't getting anywhere where they are. And so the spirit is saying, the answer to your question is not the answer that you want, but it's there.
Right.
And again, this consciousness, you go back into the conscious brain saying, but I've lived here all my life, I have all my friends here, I have this, I have that. And spirit saying, gee, that's nice, but you just asked this question, and this is the answer. And so you have that dichotomy of the left-right brain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I would ask you, when you're working with, when you're doing your work, because not everybody, especially when you work at the level that we do, Ellen and I both make a living doing what we do, successful living. I've been doing, this is my way of earning a living for the last many years now.
I like the way you skipped that.
Thank you. There are the intuitive hit or that, you know, I talked about the gut. Mate's book is fascinating in terms of discussing the P&I system and all it just made me understand even better that whole idea of you know, what we feel in our gut. My gut told me this or my gut told me that, and apparently it turns out it really does. But people get different, we get our information, we get our intuitive information can come in a variety of ways for people. How does that come for you? What happens for you?
That's a good question. It depends on what I'm doing. If I'm working with a client, I see and hear and understand. That's the best way I can say it. And I get the confirmation from spirit by telling the person I'm talking to, this is what I understand happened, or, you know, this is where you, and I always start in the past, recent past, and that's the way spirit gives it to me, and take them through, you know, a cycle in their life, because what I'm looking for is the confirmation from them that, yes, I'm understanding what happened in their life. And this is all being given to me in pictures or in metaphors or in just understanding, knowing that person. And then when we get to the point when I say, do you understand? Am I making sense to you? And they go, yes, that's accurate of what's been true for my life. Then we can go to the future events. And again, it's a knowing. It's an understanding rather than I don't necessarily, sometimes I've actually heard words spoken in my ear, but that's not, it's more of an understanding.
That goes back to that, it's knowing without knowing how you know. information just comes in that way.
And I always have to laugh now, because you and I both know this from our life experience. Everybody's intuitive. Some of us are more intuitive. Thank you. You told me that a long time ago. Some of us have a different gift. And because of that, we live in a different reality. And I didn't really get that for a very, very long time. And so when you say you know what you know, you know what you know. And you can look at the guy next to you and you expect him to know the same thing you know because that's where you are and they're not there. And
great
it,
point.
It's always such a strange feeling. Here's a little example. I had a lady working for me when I wasn't home. She was taking care of my house. And she lied to me. Now, she knows what I do. She's been to me as a client. And she point blank lied to me. And I'm thinking, what are you thinking? Why are you lying to me? I know you're lying to me. And, of course, she just kind of, because she doesn't understand how I live, that part of the guard dropped down, and she thought she could get away with what she was doing. That doesn't work all the time. But for the most part, you get the intuition. You know what you know about what the other person is saying and doing with you. And it's interesting. It's just like, so, yeah, you just know.
And I think one of the hardest things of all, at least working with teaching intuition development, and you teach also, is that, you know, one of the biggest challenges for anybody working to develop their intuition is learning to trust. Because we don't want to be embarrassed because we guessed wrong. That's part of it, but it's really learning to trust those messages and to understand, I think this is so important, that we are imperfect receivers, we are imperfect filters. Interpretation is another whole thing all by itself at a professional level. But so the information isn't always going to be 100%. I tell my clients and my students, the bigger the emotional charge an issue has, the less you can trust your intuition. Because it's like static.
Yes, and the closer you are to the person you're reading for, the harder.
Absolutely.
You know, and I love what you said about the interpretation. Because, you know, in the Bible, Christ spoke in parables, and people would stand around and go, okay, maybe, maybe not. There's all these people have spent their whole life's work picking a parable apart. And a lot of times in our work, I don't mean to make it sound like we're, you know, there, but a lot of what we get is metaphors or pictures. And you have to kind of work with this picture and figure out what the metaphor is. And it's coming faster than you're trying to articulate it to the person you're sitting with. And I have actually at times said to the person, they'll sit and look at me just kind of shaking their head, you know, like, this woman's in another world or the planet. And I'll go, okay, I can't find the right words, but let me tell you what the picture is. Let me tell you what I'm seeing and see if this makes sense to you. And as soon as I give them the picture, they get it because it's their metaphor.
Exactly. You said see a picture. So for people who are listening, who may not be as informed or knowledgeable or educated about the intuitive world, there are four dominant functions in psychic ability or intuition. One is clairvoyance, which is the ability to see. One is clairaudience, which is the ability to hear. The other one is clairsentience, which is feeling, and the other one is the least known of the Clair sisters is clairgustinence, which is intuitive information coming through the sense of smell. I actually have a client whose dominant function is clairgustinence, only person I've ever known who has that as a dominant function. Now, most of us have all of them. Part of developing your own intuitive abilities or psychic abilities is discovering which one is your dominant function. My dominant function is clairsentient. I feel it. I find sometimes I think, gee, if I was dominantly clairvoyant, that would be great because I would see the pictures, easier interpretation. But I don't know if that's really true. And I totally agree with you. Like dream work, which you know I love. I love dream work. Interpretation, intuitive information is also often more symbolic than not. Very seldom is it literal. Do you find that that's true?
Oh, yeah. And I'm still sorting out which one is my strongest, because I don't, the other day, my dad came by, you know, my dad crossed years ago,
yeah.
Came by for a visit, because I could smell his cigarettes, because he loved it. And so when he shows up, there's always this smoke, you know, this cigarette smoke. And nobody in our house smokes. I mean, you know, it's, you know, and my son has often talked about that Lolo, he called my dad Lolo, Grandpa. Lolo was visiting because I smelled his cigarettes.
Wow.
Mark, my husband, smells his mother's rose water perfume. So, but in a reading, I have to be honest and say sometimes it switches where I'm actually listening I'm not hearing a voice, but the knowing part where you just sit and you know what you know. But then if I can't get the message across, I'll get like a movie or a car. The other day I got a cartoon of a bumblebee, and uh-huh. I could not do anything with this bumblebee. I could not. I mean, I finally said to the person, I don't even know where to start with this, but I'm getting this bumblebee. Well, this person immediately knew what it was because the message was about a friend who had a sculpture of a bumblebee in their backyard.
This is the other thing. I'm always absolutely amazed when information comes, like the bumblebee, some piece of information comes and it seems, you know, there's this sort of flitting in and out of the logical mind and the intuitive mind when you're doing the work, because the logical mind is responsible for the interpretation and relaying the messages, but so taking the information and putting it out there, and something comes through, and you know, my logical mind goes inside my head, what? I don't understand that at all. What? And then, like you said with the bumblebee, as soon as you say it to the person, because you have a responsibility to pass the information on as accurately, completely, as often tactfully, gently, or firmly as is possible. You know, and I know, you stop messing with that and you start wanting to change that, then your gift's going to go someplace you don't want it to go, and you may follow. But that data just amazes me, And then you say it to them, and they totally get it.
Oh, yeah, just lit up like a Christmas tree. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, oh.
Yeah,
I'm so
exactly.
Happy.
What do you consider,
right,
this is wonderful. I'm so glad you had the time to, I'm delighted that you were listening. I'm absolutely thrilled that you had the time to spend today. What do you consider the biggest challenge in developing your intuition? Because I, you know, we have a history, and I know for a long time you didn't think that was there like that. Although, going back to something that I said earlier in the show, you're a great salesperson. Your intuition was operating there like all the time. So what do you think is the biggest challenge for developing? What was the biggest challenge for you? It's not the same for everybody. What was the biggest challenge for you?
Trust. Absolutely trust. You said
trust.
It very early on. And it is interesting because I was very, very, very good at sales. Very good. I mean, I took classes and got A's, and people said, you could sell ice cubes to Eskimos, for God's sake. I hope you're going to go into pharmaceutical sales, or because that was the pinnacle in those days. I always chalked it up to luck. Oh, I was just really lucky. You know, I had a good client. I was just really lucky. I never sat down and said, why did I know what this person wanted before this person told me what they wanted? I just knew that this is where they were going. And I never gave it a second thought. So trusting is the hardest thing, and the only way to do it is to actually put it out there and wait for the answer. In other words, when I hooked up with you and you began to help me move forward, the biggest thing was do the reading. Tell the person what you see, and then wait for confirmation. Wait for them to confirm that what you saw or felt or understood or whatever it was confirmed. And then the more you do that, the more you realize. And then the big piece that fell into place for me was when I met my husband, Mark, and his son, who was then 6, and they were watching Jurassic Park. And I said, oh, my God, how can you watch that? That's the most, bloody, horrific. And what Alex said to me was, oh, it's only make-believe. And he was only 6. And I realized at that point that my life had never had make-believe because
wow.
I live in a different reality. And when
wow.
you live in a different reality, it's all there all the time. And that was really when all the pieces fell into place for me. And I went, oh, I get this. I actually get this because I live here and they live here. And so what I see, hear, feel, and understand is different. And that it at least gave me some peace with what I was doing. So.
I like that story. I like that story a lot. I did an exercise last year, started incorporating it into my classes where my intuitive development classes were probably, I don't think I'm letting a cat out of the bag particularly, but as one of the final exercises of the series, I would have a person come into the class that nobody knew, and they would introduce themselves and give their birth date. That's the only piece of information that they would relate. And then the class had 12 minutes to, in silence, it's very uncomfortable. At some level, it's kind of an uncomfortable exercise, to jot down their impressions of this person, intuitive impressions. And it
That's
turned out
great.
To be it's a fascinating exercise because I had six students in one class, and every single one of them picked. It's a great exercise because it demonstrates the variety and the interpretation. For example, I think 4 of the 6 picked up that one person who sat for me had 2 children, and as it turned out, she doesn't have any children at all, but she had 2 dogs that were like her children. It was amazing. One of them couldn't make heads or tails of she kept feeling or seeing fire and a whole house, just the fire and the energy that came with it. She said was that this whole house got destroyed, and it didn't make any sense because she couldn't feel it. Well, it turns out that the subject when she was a late teen, her family home had burned to the ground. So there were all these pieces. It's a great exercise in seeing, how all of that comes together, and then learning to trust yourself because you think that, I'm not getting this right. And then when you see the picture come together like that, you recognize, oh, yeah, I did get it right.
Yep, that's the bumblebee.
Yeah, exactly, the bumblebee. I love that story. I think that's great.
Yeah, it was funny. The other thing, too, when you were talking about that, this is a piece that falls into place, is that once something is universal knowledge, whether you carry it in your aura or whether it's carried in the ethers or whatever it is, once something becomes universal knowledge, it's accessible by any intuitive who tunes in to that person's energy. For example, I did a reading for a person, and I told this person that they would meet the love of their life this was where that was going, you know, by the fall of the year, whatever that was. And the person's name was Jim, and it would be in a starry night, and it would be summertime, and, you know, and then it would progress into the fall, into a romance, blah, blah, blah. And so it went. And at the end, she sat with her mouth open, and at the end of the reading, she said, I just paid Sylvia Brown $750, and she told me the exact same thing, including the name, the nighttime, the stars, and the fall of the year.
And wow.
I was modestly pleased. Modestly pleased.
Absolutely.
But the point was, it was universal knowledge.
Right.
And if I had told her that without the validation of the other reading, she might not have ever believed me.
Right.
You know, until it happened. But, you know. Yeah.
Did you ever hear back from her?
No, it was one of those fleeting moments, you know, that you don't always hear those things.
Right,
but,
no.
You know.
We seldom do, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I mean, for the number of readings that we do, we do. I certainly get a great deal of feedback, but I'm very positive feedback, which I'm very grateful for. But there's the bigger body that I never hear back about.
No, that's true. You know, that is a piece of it. You know, that's why those six people in your class each picked up a piece, because it's universal knowledge about that soul.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up.
And
I think
so
that's great.
It is tappable. You know, when you stand next to a stranger, and of course, you have the people who are empaths, you know, that can pick up on somebody's dilemma or whatever's going on in their life and feel that at the gut level. But what I'm talking about is slightly different. This is just universal knowledge. You stand next to somebody, and you can see people do it. You stand next to somebody and go, oh, man, that person's really having a bad day. And it's because they are. And
right.
It might not be showing on their face, but it's in their energy. And we are so interconnected. And those are ways of learning to trust your intuition, you know, to acknowledge that. You don't want to go up to the guy on the street corner and say, gee, I think you're having a bad day.
Right.
Always having a bad day.
Sometimes, I mean, we don't have to go up to the person on the street, but we do it all the time with our, you know, with our friends. Of course, part of it is body language, and part of it was other things, people we know. But, you know, you can walk into a room and right away pretty much say, I mean, I've walked up to some people that I didn't know very well and looked at them and said, wow, I don't know what's going on in your life, but there's some big changes, and they're looking really good.
Oh, yeah. That goes over well.
Well, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I don't do that, I think. Since I've become more aware of my intuitive nature and really listened to it, harnessed it, paid attention to it, hence here I am, I don't do that. I don't do that much anymore. Those were in the days when I was partly trying to run away from it, but at the same time, you can't run away from who you are, you know?
No. And I did that when I traveled. I would find myself in situations where I'd be picking up information. And I do want to interject here that we don't walk around eavesdropping on people's psyche.
Absolutely.
That is not acceptable.
Absolutely.
But occasionally, you run into somebody who is broadcasting who they are so powerfully, and their need for help or answers is so huge.
The other part of that is if you haven't gotten a handle on your abilities. I deal with a lot of people who are sick because they're psychic sponges and they don't know it, and they're just sucking up everything and they aren't aware of it.
Yep, and you have to be able to shut it down.
Exactly.
When I was traveling, I'm sorry, go ahead. No,
please go ahead. I heard you. You were traveling.
Oh. When we were traveling, I would be someplace in a restaurant or something, and the waitress, you know, her life would just be spilling out for whatever reason. And what I learned to do with that was I would go over and say to them, you know, this is my name, this is what I do. I have a message for you. Would you like to receive it? And then I gave them the option, because not everybody works on our frequency or enjoys what we do. And only once out of the whatever times I did that while I was traveling for 4 years. So did I get a no. And that was because I was in the middle of a Bible Belt, and that person just didn't believe in what I did. And that's fine, and I certainly respected it. I wished her a happy day and left. I mean, that's just the way that is.
Well, we can't, I like that approach. I've never thought about that. I think I tend to, because my dominant function is clairsentient, I think I tend to, perhaps for reasons that I'll have to think about after we're done today, we'll give it some thought, but I tend to just put it in the hands of the divine when I have that kind of experience and let it go. And, you know, it's kind of like that saying about love, if you let it go, it'll come back to you. It's not that I actually expect that, but I certainly just, because I don't give any contact information, I just put it in, out into that, like you said, the what is often called the Akashic record, or as Carl Jung said, the great collective unconscious. Put it out there, and put it out there in a way that, you know, that person is supported and protected or fed in whatever way they need to be, because I think that's
right.
Also a good tool to use. But I'm kind of odd that you actually walk up to people and offer that part of yourself.
It's a little scary. You talk about trusting, you know, you just got to go with the flow and trust. But I always was encouraged, you know, Mark would always encourage me. If you have a message to deliver, you have to trust, number one, that the message is correct, and number two, that the person wants to receive it, and just, you know, go and do what you have to do.
Yeah.
So
and
listen,
then,
though,
and
I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
Okay. You're getting close to the top of your hour, and I want to give you your show back. Thank you for letting me chat with you so that you can close out. But I have this cute little clip, and I thought I'd tell you.
Please do.
If the right side of the brain controls the left side of the body, only left-handed people are in their right mind.
I love it. That leaves me out. Although I'm ambidextrous, so maybe so that means I'm half in and half out, maybe.
Right?
I would say
anyway,
halfway, but I'm not going to.
Thank you so much
for calling in and for joining me today. I really loved the exchange. Loved the bouncing off. I hope the listening audience really enjoyed the exchange. Got a little late on the call-in letters there, but I'll get better at this. So, Ellen, I really, really appreciate it. I want to thank you very, very much.
Oh, I'm glad, and I love you, and thank you for being there for us. And I enjoyed it, and I'll listen all the time when I'm home and can do that.
Well, I think maybe we ought to look at doing it again.
Yes,
we'll talk about that later. How about that?
All right. All right. Well, have a good finish of your show, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, dear. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I really want to, we are winding down towards the end of our time. I really want to thank everyone who was listening today, particularly really, really want to thank Ellen for calling in and adding a real bit of spice and liveliness to the conversation today. Are you psychic? Take some time to find out. Explore your hunches. Let your gut talk to you. Be present with that energy. This is Melanie, Melanie Thomas, and the show is Insights, and I'm really, really glad to have you here. I will be here every other Tuesday at 1 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on BBS Live Talk Radio. If it's not BBS, it's not Live Talk Radio. Really want to thank you all very much for joining me today. I look forward to sharing more of our intuitive experiences with you. Insights into your life, what makes it tick. We'll have some good topics coming up in the future. And also, I think we'll probably look at having Ellen come back. And good to have a co-worker, a cohort, who also happens to be a good friend, a fellow worker in the field. It's a wonderful place to be. Thank you again very much for joining me today. You can find me on the profile page at BBS Radio. Go to Station 1, program schedule, and check Tuesdays at 1 o'clock. Every other Tuesday at 1 o'clock, you'll see my profile. You can also find me at melanie-insights.com. Thank you so much. Looking forward to talking to you again in 2 weeks at 1 o'clock. Take care and have a great 4th of July. Have a safe, sane, blessed holiday. Give thanks for our freedoms, and especially give thanks for our troops who are in active service and their families. Thank you so much.